in an embankment of snow on the northern side of the ridge. A camp of hunters has settled for the night. One Mothrin sits on watch, while the others lay to rest for the morning's outing. The ground trembles. Screams erupt from the direction of their home. All of the hunters jump to their feet, their weapons quickly in hand. From the opposite direction, a terrible roar breaks the night silence. The Mothrin turns and sees two emerald eyes beaming against the smoke-filled, starless sky.
Someone also brought Dylan. That'd be awkward for them.
That'd be really great.
Yeah. Both of us going, oh yeah, I'm going out.
Tonight. I heard they love each other. It's pretty gross.
Don't you fucking repeat that to anybody.
Maybe they'll ask each other out.
That is for Patreon listeners only.
Patreon listeners only. Yeah. They get love and heartfelt messages from significant others.
Yeah, what's it like to receive love and affirmation from a partner? I'm genuinely curious.
Sam, I love you so much.
Neither do I.
Sam, I love you so much.
A thing Anna and I did today, I called her and I was like, hello, Anna Brown. This is Dylan Ballardinelli, voice and casting director for Norman P. Blank. Just wanted to let you know we're on season 3 and we would love to hear from you. We want you to come back and play for it. Just like this whole business message. Yeah.
Who was it to?
Anna.
Who?
And she called me back and we role-played
business.
Role-played business.
We role played business.
I thought there was a Y in there.
There's where we role played business.
Funky bass player. Bass. Going to the background.
Funky. Like the kind of guitar that you barely get to hear because the wah pedal's going
exactly. You can.
That's corn.
The only noise is really the fingers on the string thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just such a...
All right, let's get back into it. Everybody, gentlemen, put your bases down. Back into it. Reverend Rise, you are currently stuck in the side of this beast as it is starting to lurch back up and getting ready to attack Vennik.
All right.
Vennik, who is now in his spectral form. What would you like to do?
I'm about to ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Ask him away.
How wide is the centipede?
How wide? I would say this is a chunky boy. I want to say the diameter of this chunky boy is probably about 10 to 15 feet across.
10 to 15 feet across.
12.5 feet across.
Copy.
Okay. And at least 50 feet tall. Or and long, I should say.
Where am I in relation to the head? You said this was second vertebrae down?
This is going to be second or third vertebrae down.
Yeah. So I'm pretty close to the head.
You're very close to the head.
How much of my body is currently in the centipede?
I'd say 80% of it.
80%?
You get to choose whether your head is sticking out or whether your feet are sticking out.
My head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, you are just attached to this and the rest of your body is feeling what the centipede is currently feeling.
Last question.
Yes.
Ironbound.
Ironbound. Made of plastic.
Made of plastic.
Correct.
And like spirit energy.
Yeah.
Right?
It courses through you. Everybody's got it.
It courses through us. Spirits and plastic in combination.
Mm-hmm.
Do they need to breathe?
We've talked about this. You do not need to breathe.
I do not need to breathe.
Yeah.
Copy. I should write that down.
No, that's a great question.
Does not need to breathe. Okay, great. I'm gonna do my best impression of Strep and get up in there.
Excuse me?
Wow.
I'm going to look at this situation with Rise's spirit, and I know that it's like...
Vennik's spirit?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
you're having a very out-of-body experience.
I'm going to look at Vennik's spirit and know that this big bug is like, if I can just get that, it'll all be complete. Yeah. All five pieces of the Power Ranger will come together and make the Megazord.
Exactly.
And I'm gonna try to grab his eye contact, or at least just like say the words, "Run," and then just start get my hewing hands together and just start climbing inside the bug up into a point where I feel like I can, because it's wide, right? So if it's 10 feet wide, I'm gonna crawl up onto one side, and I'm going to try to shove one hand out of its body, and then, like, because I have both of, I have slinkies on my hands, I'm going to try to do it on the other side, so that now I have two arms coming out of this bug.
Okay. That's what you're going to try to do.
That is what I would like to do.
Much like Venix's situation.
Uh-huh.
You are in very close proximity to this bug. And the more that you physically exert yourself, the more you feel yourself falling away from your body.
Right.
So I need you to give me a luck check before
luck check
any first. Of this. Actually, give me a roll for exactly what you want to do.
Okay.
That's what I want you to do. So build your pool. So you want to put your arms through this thing.
Yeah. And like crawl doing inside damage and then like, doing outside.
Punching damage. Through it and looking real cool doing it.
Yeah, so then I can just start hitting myself in the face.
Absolutely. make a pool for that and roll for it.
Cool. Teeth and break?
That sounds right to me.
You motherfuckers.
4, 3, 5, and a 1.
4, 3, 5, 1.
So, conflict.
It's a conflict. I think you were able to tear into it. You're crawling through it and you feel like the inside, all the bug guts, you're really fucking up like the top half of it. I think this is where like where the diaphragm is.
Mm-hmm.
And so eating anything right now is going to be very difficult for this bug, which is very, very good. As far as exerting yourself so that you have an outside presence, I think that's where you really start to slip. Because that's where you really are starting to exert yourself. You're trying to put yourself in a physical situation where you can have, like, manipulate from the outside.
Right.
Give me a luck check. Sure. Odds or evens?
Evens.
That is a 1. As you start to push your arms out, you feel, like, you feel your Beyblade arms kind of, like, pierce through the bug flesh and then through this exoskeleton, like this eggshell, because it's so fragile now. And you feel one hand go through, and then you feel yourself, your spirit, like your essence, try to do the same thing, but your body doesn't move. And suddenly you feel yourself falling out of your physical form.
Okay.
I need you to make a reaction to see whether you're going to fall into this guy's digestive system or if you're going to fall out of him.
Sure.
So make a roll for that.
I had a fucking nickel, man.
Is this purely for my body or for both?
This is for your essence. Your body is now currently stuck inside of this bug.
So my essence might move.
Your essence is moving, but we're determining how you're going to get out of it.
Copy. Okay.
So I think you do have control of your essence. You feel yourself like come out of your physical body. And now you...
One of my options can't be to fall back into my body.
Yeah, this could be the role that it does it.
Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. It is going to be at a cut, though.
Sure.
What would that pool be?
Probably going to be, Iron Embrace.
Iron Embrace.
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be at a cut.
Ah, the Iron Embrace.
Iron Embrace.
Ooh.
Damn it.
That's a 6 and 2 3s. With a cut, we cut the 6. And so that is a failure.
Yes, it is.
But with a twist, which is great. Oh, I hate to see it. The DM says
you
it
put me here. The twist is as you fall further in, it's actually like better. It's like nice for you.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's
pretty
actually
warm.
Pretty great.
It's cozy.
Nice. And not bad. Nothing actually bad happens to you. That's the twist.
You try to crawl back into your physical body, but the digestive juices that are still working on the inside of this giant bug cling onto your essence, and you feel it pulling you down further and further into the belly of the beast. And now you are stuck on the inside. Whatever light that you were able to see from the broken exoskeleton and all the glowing blue bug blood that's currently around you slowly starts to dissipate, and all that's in your vision is just this neon blue. And you feel it's not painful. Because I don't think as an Ironbound you feel a lot of pain. And so this feeling that you're experiencing currently is more like an erosion. Like you feel whatever is left of you in your essence is slowly being taken apart bit by bit by the juices flowing around you. That's where you're at currently.
All right, cool. That's my turn.
Luca, you were running with the woman.
Yes, I'm still carrying the little parasite with
you. You carry the little parasite with you, and you rush over and you see... this big pile of bodies. It's pretty clear that all these people were trying to get somewhere, trying to protect themselves, but suddenly they were removed from their body very, very quickly. The spiritual woman, she's kind of like, she's pointing at this pile of bodies. She's not getting too close because she's afraid of what might happen, but she's described to you exactly what this flare might look like. What do you do?
I'm going to put the parasite down next to me and just kind of start shifting the bodies around looking, because she said her body is the one.
Correct.
Only I'm going to be try to find her body and get this flare.
Okay, make a roll.
Blue flare, red thorns.
Sharps and scents.
Sharps and scents.
Does that work?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Because I'm trying, like...
Sense something sharp.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to do this at a cut as well for you.
Okay.
You're still in your physical body, but there's other reasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not traumatized. You're traumatized.
Why are you cutting?
5-2-1.
Man, I hate
Why are you guys losing?
Five.
You're at a cut. You're at a cut. You're at a cut. No, nobody gets advantage. You're all fucking cuts.
You guys had it too good for too fucking long.
We just started this game.
We just started?
We just... We're not even level two.
What number is on my sheet? Session 12? Session 12?
Joey, we're only a year and a half in.
We're only a year and a half. We just started. We
just started.
Fuck you guys. You rolled a two. Fuck you.
I wasn't fighting with you about it.
Look what I did to Sam.
You're about to break your fucking leg looking for this.
Sam.
I think... Sam, Luca starts to lose it a little bit. I think there are so many bodies here that it's just hard to kind of pile through them. And as you're looking, like you're seeing all these different types. You're seeing Ketra, you're seeing Ironbound, you're seeing Ardents, you're seeing Mothrans. And I think that's what gets you.
No Gow.
The other Mothrans, there's Gow.
God damn,
fuck you. I think you see other Mothrans in this pile, and I think that's what kind of like scares you. Just kind of like, oh, wow. These people look dead because they're lifeless bodies that are just, they're still beating, like they're still living, they're breathing and stuff like that. But this like surreal feeling of like, I think completely distracts you and you're not able to find it at all.
I don't know. I'm going to start hyperventilating.
You're going to start hyperventilating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hyperventilating, you just stop breathing.
I think that's good. I don't want to mark another Meyer, but I do think I am going to inflict some harm on you. And so I think
why?
Roll it a cut to try to...
but yeah, I think this harms you, so take one damage. And Venek, where did we leave you? You were...
7 out of body experience.
I licked a tendril and then I...
And you know it's about to attack you. As you see this, like, the centipede kind of rise up off the ground and kind of regain its strength and it's zeroing in on you, its emerald diamond eyes focusing in on your spectral body. You see Reverend Rise, his physical form, pop out of the body, his head, and just yells at you, run! And then you see him go... Boop, inside to it, and you start to see the beast kind of like, and then you see one fist pop out, and then nothing else happens.
And you hear a dink on the other side.
And then you see the beast wriggles as it looks like it's digesting a meal.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the beast always looks like it's digesting a meal.
This is true.
But also, eep.
And it's getting ready to pounce on you.
Great.
Hopping down to Sibon.
That's me!
Sibon's about to find an entirely new party down here.
Just might.
Hey, look at all these new friends.
Now, deep into the cave, you feel a deep stillness of the cold earth around you. Mm-hmm. Unlike the sprawling verdancy of the wild sea, there is no room to grow, to spread out, to flourish in the space around you. Mm-hmm. Only cold, still earth leading you forward in a single direction. Carved into the walls are symbols and patterns meant to trivialize some sort of order, proof that this was indeed carved by intelligent hands and not by some wild creature or form of nature. The path before you opens up into a junction. The hallway spans left and right for about 20 yards. The corridor here is large and wide, like that of some great hall. To your left, you see what should be a dead end open up into a stone compartment nearly twice the size of you. A stone latch has been raised, so whatever was on the inside has been released. Mm. To your right, you see a large pile of stone rubble. The wall at the right end of the corridor shows a history of some great impact of what you can only assume to be a large rock. Eve steps into the corridor. She looks to you. What is this?
How are you seeing down here? Your race doesn't... Are you new?
One, fuck you, Will. two, Now I gotta come up with some bullshit reason why she could see.
she's a construct. What do you mean?
Yeah. I think
she's an ardent shaped construct of myth. She can do whatever.
She has wizard eyes.
You are asking the right questions, Will.
My wizard eyes.
But
special eyes.
As somebody who is just diving into fantasy, I'm that question really does bother me.
Sorry.
No, it doesn't bother me that you asked it. It bothers me that I don't have an answer for it. I think
result, she doesn't know yet. She's newborn.
She goes exactly. I don't know.
For those playing at home, Joe just flipped me off.
It's okay. As a result, you will now be rolling at a cut as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Every roll.
Don't forget that.
That middle finger cut me deep.
I don't know. Shall we go further in? You said this was the place to stop that thing.
It certainly feels like it. It's deeper inside, deeper and darker down. I know it. It's like I have this memory of exactly what it is, but I can't see it.
Hop on. I can move faster than you.
Okay. She climbs on, and I think you take your tendrils and, like...
Yeah, strap her in.
Yeah, you strap her
in. This roller coaster goes fast.
She wraps her arms around you, and she's securely tight to you. What direction do you go, left or right?
Which way?
She points to the right, towards the impact crater on the wall.
And I start headed that way fairly quickly.
You go down to the right.
And I look for white lines on my way in. I sniff for white lines.
At the end of the hallway, where the impacts and the walls are present, you round the corner and see a shorter corridor, maybe about 10 feet long. And in this small passage through, there is an arc passageway. Carved on either side of the sloping arc, in the pair of spandrels, is the symbol of the sun against three lines. In this particular archway, the sun is cut off by the very top of the three lines, making it look as if the sun is ridden above the line, and now only the bottom half of the sun is visible. Further inspecting the archway, you see that two lines have been drawn in chalk that divide the archway into three sections, bottom, middle, and top. In this archway, the top edges of the arch have been shaded in with the same white chalk that you saw when you first encountered the first floor. So basically, to summarize it, there are symbols in the archway right here, carved in stone. Three lines, and then a sun. The sun right now is being cut off by the top line. And the archway, the stone archway itself, it is divided into three sections with the chalk. And the top section is completely shaded in.
Okay.
What do you do?
Well, that's the same chalk line you crossed. Maybe chalk leads deeper?
She just holds on tight.
And I'll jump through the top third.
You jump through the top third?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's get shredded.
You jump up as you walk through this archway. Nothing happens. Before you, as you enter the next part of the section, you see the same exact thing. You see a long hallway. There's this compartment that's open right in front of you. That looks like there was something hiding in there.
Does it seem like the exact same?
It seems
like I'm alien geometrying back on myself?
It is not the exact same. Okay. It is flipped on itself. So instead of the left side there being a spring trap, on the right side there's a spring trap. And as you look down the hallway to the next turn, you see a similar impact, lots of gravel, stone all the way down. And the hallway is, again, like 10 feet wide, 10 feet tall.
So we sprint to follow the archways, then?
I'm trusting you, whatever you think.
Could be bad. Let's do it.
And I'm going to just sprint toward archways each time, trying to pass through the archways.
Gotcha. So you run down this hall into the next archway. As you do, walking along the stone path, you notice that the hallway is slightly curved. The hallway is slightly curved at the edges, where the wall meets the floor. You hear a noise. You look up and you see that the mass of rubble and stone at the opposite end of the hallway shakes and rumbles as the small pieces of dirt and rock begin to hover off the ground and into the air. Before you can react, the mass of the debris shoots right at you. What would you like to do? Would you like to dodge it?
Yes, I have valuable cargo on my back.
All right, how are you going to do it?
I don't know.
Keeping my sense and instinct?
Sense and instinct. Yeah, sense and instinct sounds good. Go for it. No cuts.
Oh, he's not going to get a cut because when he put her on his back and started moving, he didn't say, hang on, spider monkey?
Oh, you know what? That Sam makes a good point.
2 6.
Whoa!
Anyway.
Go.
Cut this.
2 6s. Complete success. Wow. Oh, for the listeners at home, Will flipped me off when he said that. How were you able to dodge the way of all these like little pieces of rock and rubble?
The way it wouldn't expect. Tendrils up, straight up.
You go straight up.
Yeah, so I can, like...
I love that. You latch onto some crags in the ceiling and you pull yourself up. You press Eve against the wall so there's a boundary between you, her, and the rocks. And the rocks just go whooshing by. And as you do, you completely avoid everything as it flies by. But behind you, you hear the groan of compacted stone and gravel being forced together under extreme pressure. Stone grinds and squeals with high-pitched whine against itself until you see that the boulder has once again reformed into a perfectly spherical giant stone ball.
Nah.
The large stone ball slides into the mechanism of the wall on the other side of the room, and as it does, some sort of spring begins to squeal as the cave of the wall closes shut. From behind it, the moaning of the spring grows and grows until you hear it. A faint click. Then, all at once, the wall slams open and the stone ball is shot out of the trap, barreling straight down the hallway.
Dun, 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 dun!
Very much so. You're what do you do? The stone is the exact size of the hallway. What
I sprint away from said stone.
He rolled a twist with that.
Oh, yeah. What is the twist? What is the twist here? I want to describe all that before I get a twist. Double six twist. That's pretty good.
The twist is that the bug upstairs dies.
It's a good twist.
Yeah. It decides to negotiate.
Yeah, it decides it's full, spits everybody back out of their bodies, yeah. Goes, sorry, and flies off into the sunset.
Here's just a bunch of milestones.
Yeah. Everybody gets 6 miles.
It helps me complete my Ghost Wars research.
Yeah. And Joe takes a cut for the rest of the game on anything he rolls.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Is that a good twist?
I don't think that's a good twist.
Not even I saw that coming.
No. The bug does not die.
Will finds a tape. It says Indiana Jones and the rest is ripped off.
Is that it, guys? Is that what we're doing here?
The Indiana Jones soundtrack tape?
Yeah, we don't know which one.
We don't know which one.
Yeah, well, just because, like, wear and tear in time. That's all. It says Indiana Jones, rip, rip, rip. And it says J. Liams. By J. Liams.
I'm going to open up to one more suggestion.
Why?
That very much.
So we can know what an imperfect one looks like.
All right, fine. That's what it is. That's what it is. No. We've decided.
I mean, I was going to say getting a whisper. It becomes a whisper, but you first hear an audible voice echo down the hallway. It's like, you're a feisty one. But it sounds like it's coming from someone who's watching him.
Okay. I think I'm going to combine these two a little bit. As you're like clinging onto the roof, and you realize that the boulder takes up the entirety of the hallway, I think you quickly go to let go. But you hear something from above you, like in the cracks of the ceiling, above the stone and the fissures. You hear a voice kind of reach out to you like, better start running, Dr. Jones. And then you just feel like a cassette. Like you see it drop down, and I think one of your tendrils just grabs it instantly. And it's exactly that. It's Indiana Jones, but the rest of the title's cut off. And I think you just pocket that. I think that's the best of two worlds.
I got a gift for you if you survive. If I survive, all beans.
If all of you survive. All right, and then you're going to make a run for it?
I'm going to start running, Mr. Jones.
All right, Make a pool.
Question.
Yeah.
Take a pool. I don't think wave walk counts here because this isn't the verdant sea.
Wave walk applies to brachiation, though.
Yeah, I think it could. Because looking at our little cheat sheet here,
brachiate, swing, navigate the wilds.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Okay, yeah. Then I'll
technically in the wilds.
Then I will wave walk and tides. I think
that makes perfect sense to me. You're moving. That's another 6, a 1, 3, and a 5.
Got to go fast.
Thank goodness the guy fighting the big bug is getting all the sixes right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Wait
a minute.
I don't have to suffer from cuts or anything.
Yeah.
The rest of the team is very bitter.
Well, we're going to know exactly how we taste, actually, like super soon.
Very soon. Salty. You instinctively kind of just start to swing with your vines. You're grabbing onto the roof. There's so many fissures. There's so many, like, small cracks compared to down below that you're able to swing all the way down and kind of beat this rock. And you're able to jump into this little hallway before you jump into the archway. And you just hear this big crash behind you. And you see the boulder crashes into a bunch of tiny little pieces once again. Before you is another archway. And this one, the sun is at the bottom of the three lines. So it looks like a sunrise. And on this one, the chalk covers the bottom. The bottom third.
This one seems right.
You get to the end of it, you see another fucking hallway with a trap door open, and it looks exactly the same as you just saw before.
Seems like a puzzle for third graders, which means I can't understand it.
Can I, like, sense anything from this? I'm not understanding.
Do you want to try to roll it out?
Yeah. Because you've drawn it out for me. I get what I'm looking at. Yeah. I don't see what about this is different than anything else so far.
Okay.
I have an idea.
Roll it out. Let's see what happens.
Sense instinct?
Yeah, I think that's good. You're trying to instinct this one out. That's six. A six, two ones, and a five. I think as you look at this, you kind of put together what the chalk is symbolizing. When you first came across the chalk, it was a warning. It was a safety warning. Mm-hmm. So on the top floor, where there was a false floor, the line was drawn so that it's just kind of like, danger, stop.
Okay.
You don't want to cross this without treading carefully forward first. And now, as you saw it in the first corridor, this chalk line, it serves as another warning. The picture is trying to do its job with illustrating sections. The lines here on the door symbolize the lines here on the portraits where the sun is. And so you see that the door has been divided into thirds, just like the picture has been divided into thirds. And where the sun is, it signals something. It's a trigger of some sort. I think with a six, you know that perhaps traversing through that part of the door will trigger the trap.
So I jump over the line.
Is that what you'd like to do?
Sure.
Okay. You jump over the line. You see that as you walk down this corridor, you see the same exact thing, a trap door where you're just turning around from. At the very other end of the hallway, you see the stone, the rubble, the impact on the wall. You see another corner that you should traverse around. As you're walking, you're waiting for the boulder to come back to life. It doesn't. You safely walk down the path, and you reach the corner. You see another corridor. Through it, you see the same exact fucking thing. Except this time, the portrait is the sun in the middle. It is a full sun. And on the door, the person who's been drawing the chalk line signals the middle of the door.
So I'm gonna... Is it easier to limbo under, or is there more room to slide up top?
That's your call.
I'm wave walking. I'm already on the ceiling. I'm going to go up top.
Okay.
Pull my little legs up into my body and just throw
it. You don't even have to roll for it. That's exactly what you do. You pull yourself up. Now you're just showing off. Eve is chuckling. And you see the same exact thing. And back to the end of the hallway, the trap that's already been triggered. You walk to the end. Nothing happens. You come to the last one. The last one,
thank God.
There is no sun. There is no chalk.
This one might not be dangerous. I'm just going to walk through it.
You walk through it, but you simply see that at the very end of the hallway, at the very top of the wall, above the deeply impacted earth, written in bold white letters, run. You hear the gravel start to come together. Oh. It flies at you.
I run the direction I can run?
You run towards the gravel. I'll come back here. Top side. How you guys doing?
Not great, man.
Whose turn is it?
Not great.
It is Venik.
Okay.
Venik, the monster is getting ready to attack you.
Uh-huh.
What do you do? You see its mouth is open, its tendrils wide, readying an attack at you.
Okay. I'm going to sprint backwards, try to leap into my body. If I can't, if I go through, I'm just going to keep running. If I have any of the sense, if I metabolize any of the sense of what it sees or how it sees, I'm going to try and figure out a pathway to kind of weave in and out. But I think,
okay,
like I can't access any of my stuff. But the thing I'm going to try and keep in mind is how to, my fighting style, much like the Stomp Samba, is Finders Keepers.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to try and figure out a way for it to harm itself, because right now I don't have any of my goodies.
Okay, gotcha. You're making a leap into your body. So go ahead and try to reconnect yourself. Yeah, this will be at a cut. I'm sorry, guys. We're back in cut town.
This is instinct and sense, so it's too... It's two dice anyway. It's
just two dice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still going to be a cut, my man.
Yeah, dude.
Make a pitch for something else.
I mean, if it's... I'm trying to think of old world traditions that come into... Like, it could, if I was using, like, my chthonic knowledge about, like, how to leap back into your body, how souls connect to bodies and stuff like that, like my old, Ketra religious stuff.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Would that work?
Yeah. You know what? I will go with it. I think you focus on grounding thoughts. I think you focus on the cave. You focus on all the parts of you that were as physical.
Focus on the Holy Trinity.
Yeah. And you use language to do that. Yeah. Focus on the Statue of Liberty. Yeah.
Well, it's not Jesus. Well, Jesus works different for my guy. Jesus was a Batman.
Not wrong.
It's a 5 and 4.
5 and 4. So that's the 4. That's great.
Yeah.
It is a conflict. You are able to successfully jump back into your body.
Cool.
The problem is, though, there's now a giant worm on top of it.
Great.
It is.
Oh, it caught up to you. It
has caught up to you, and now, if you weren't in your physical form, then it just would have eaten you whole.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have been able to reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But because you were able to jump back into your body before that, it just now has a grip of you. It has your physical form. But in doing so, it has piled through the ground and is now pushing you through dirt and stone.
Great.
As it starts to barrel through the earth and disappear from sight from everyone on top. Reverend Rise is still in the middle of it. But you two are now underground. You're being dragged through the dirt.
Great, cool.
I'm going to give one harm to you. That is going to be the conflict
Great, cool.
Reverend Rise.
Reverend Rise is in he's flashing through his mind of the revelation he learned earlier, or that he thought of earlier, which is like, yeah, they really don't need you. As he sinks down in this fucking thing's gullet. And is, like, watching his body, like, drift away from him. He's like, oh, what the fuck do I do here?
Reverend Rise pauses in the belly of the beast and thinks how his first adventure back on the wild sea has already ended in this situation. You've been up on your rock for so long, and you've been holding on to thoughts of adventure and wild that you haven't stopped to consider it if you're ready again. And this moment where you're truly separated from your physical form, from the safety net of ascension, I think, yeah, you are truly, you feel alone.
Yeah.
I think it's been nice being with Luca and Simon.
Aww.
Because they're fresh, they're young, they still have adventure.
For those who can't see, Michael just shrugged because...
I didn't know the second half of the sentence, and I went, what the hell?
And I think, especially as you compare yourself to Vanek, someone who has never let their guard down simply because they never had the option to, I think you start to feel a little soft. I think that really discourages you.
Yeah.
As you're floating down, do you have a mire that you want to mark?
Yeah, can get lost.
Can get lost. You mark that mire as you sink slowly into the belly of the beast.
Yep.
Luca, you're hyperventilating. Panic is settling in. The worm has just dived down. There's an inkling of safety, but it's temporary, and you know that. You don't know where your friends are. This is the first time you've actually thought about your friends in a second. Like, where's my crew? Where's my team? They're all gone. Worst of all, you don't know where Sibon is. You don't remember where he went. You don't remember if he climbed up the hill with you for a minute. You truly feel alone. The spectral woman is snapping at you, trying to clap you out of it. But yeah, I think noise no longer exists in your ears. The one thing that grounds you, that brings you back to this earth, is gone. And I think all you hear is just this high pinging ring in your antennae. And then you feel the ground rumble beneath you. And I think that shakes it out of you. What do you do in this moment?
Am I still hearing the ringing in my ears?
It cuts out as soon as you feel the feet, like the ground beneath you, start to tremble.
In that moment, with all that, I cut back and I suddenly feel something from deep inside me that I don't recognize as myself, but I still recognize it. More than anything, an anger and a hatred towards this thing, because basically making a mockery of me. Mm. And I can't recall ever feeling like this before. And at the same time, I feel like I've felt this plenty of times before. And so with that, I'm now going back to try to find the flare again, with the sense in my mind that I have to put this thing in its place.
I love that. You see that the spectral woman who's been yelling at you has run off, knowing that the next attack could very well kill her completely.
I've completely disregarded her at this point. All I'm like, she has something that'll hurt it good.
I love that. Go ahead and make a roll. And this will not be at a cut.
Okay.
It'll be at two cuts.
This is actually going to have high impact because of your determination not to be embarrassed or bullied by a worm.
High impact. What is that again?
High impact means whatever you're going to do, the success of it is going to be heightened.
Okay. Instinct and sense.
Instinct and sense. Perfect. Roll them. 5, 3, and 2. It is a conflict. You are burrowing through these piles. You're throwing people off now. You found this renewed vigor inside of your body. And you find it. You find this iron-bound clinging onto a barrel. A barrel about the size of you, basically, that has this red paper surrounding it and two metal caps on either end. You pick it up and you immediately know that this is the flare. This is perfect. And in that, you also know, like, as you're holding onto this shape, you're looking at it, there's like a small divot on the end of it, and something instinctually inside of you just knows, oh, this is a mortar. This needs a mortar cannon to launch this. And I think in that moment, as you start to run, you feel the ground collapse out from underneath your feet, because the spectropede has burrowed underneath you, and instead of consuming you, has created a cavity, a canyon, that has just caused the ground beneath you to cave in under its tracks. So now you and all these lifeless bodies are trapped about 10 feet down in a ditch. But you got the mortar. That's great.
Sure.
Where should I hop to next? Where do we feel the focus needs to go?
I know what I want to do, but
I'm going to hop over to Venek.
Yeah. You would be the only thing that, if you had to do something, it might change my trajectory right now.
Okay.
Perfect.
Great.
Venek, you are being dragged through gravel and stone as this centipede burrows through the ground while you are in its maw, being chewed up, trying to reveal the juicy bit that's underneath all that flesh.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Okay, so I think so that he can use both his hands, I think he's gonna figure out what there's a if there's a stable piece of chitin, and he's gonna move his back towards the ground, and he's gonna hold on to the front of this thing with his teeth.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna undo the satchel with the remaining four bombs and try to shove it into the mouth. I know I can't do it immediately anyway, so I'm just gonna be gripping on as tight as I can.
You position yourself. You grab onto the mandibles that are pinching at you, and despite their sharpness, you clutch onto them and spin your body so that you are now facing the dirt. And as you do, you push yourself out of the jaw, pulling yourself apart, and position yourself so that you're holding on by your teeth onto whatever loose mandible that is close to you. And it's one that's wiggling. It's trying to shake you off, but your grip is too tight. It's too fierce. And in that moment, you mechanically just reach into your bag And you shove them into the mouth?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what I would like.
Okay.
I was thinking about making something, but then I was like, you know, I don't think I'm gonna make anything better than
four bombs
specifically, and kind of
for ghosts. Yeah,
for ghosts. All
right. Make a roll to safely put these into the mouth of the creature.
Okay, great.
What is the pool gonna be?
I mean, I think it's you know, yeah, it's kind of teeth and outwit. I would ask,
yeah,
very kindly, for to use cut chart to maybe add an additional dice to so that I can time out when to detonate the bomb to know its weak point.
Cut chart, what is that?
Cut chart is my you have systems in place to expedite the removal of the most useful part of anything. Turn conflicts into triumphs when using concoct to assess resources or weak points, whether alive or dead.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking allow that.
Okay.
I know this isn't necessarily concoct, but I think what you're doing definitely very much falls into this. I think there's a plan here that you've already assessed.
Yeah.
So yes, go ahead. Okay. Or use the aspect. That's what you're doing?
Well, here, I can. Do you want me to use the aspect?
Yeah, just use the aspect. So okay. If you do have a conflict, it will just be a success.
Great, cool. So that's still teeth and concoct. That's a four.
A four? That is a conflict.
Yeah.
But it is a success.
Okay, great.
Because we're using that aspect.
And so then now I'm doing outwit and teeth.
Well, describe to me.
Okay, so as I'm holding onto this guy via my teeth, I'm kind of observing the types of mandibles that it has, and using that to kind of build a diagram in my head of how long its digestive tract needs to be based off of the acidity of the thing that I tasted earlier.
Yes.
So that I can go, okay, so if its digestive tract would need to be this long, this is kind of where the kidneys would probably be.
I imagine that Venek is like, constantly has this like picture of like a cow and all the bits of it, like at a butcher's shop.
That's a cut chart. That's why it's called that.
But I imagine that you have that in your mind for everything that you look at. Uh-huh. Your friends and everything that you come across is just kind of like, yeah, that's the best part of you.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah, and you do exactly that. Using the mental picture of the the spectropede, you are able to break down exactly where everything is.
Great. And that's where that's I'm gonna when I do the shoving.
Do the shoving now.
That's a six.
That is a six.
Whew.
Six, how many of the bombs four. Do you shove into the mouth?
Four.
You shove all of them.
All of them. It's this is the full satchel, so they all move at the same time.
Perfect.
Put it all on black.
You're still hanging on by your teeth underneath this centipede as it's crawling through the earth, bringing you deeper in what direction you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you hear it going, trying to get you back into its pinchers.
Yeah.
It's hungry. It's starving. It needs you there so it can eat you. And you're able to take this moment of just going like, you want something to eat? And you swing the sack into its mouth and it just gobbles it, immediately thinking that it's like, it's back! It's back! Yeah. And it just swallows it whole without realizing what just happened.
Perfect.
Simon.
Okay, I have a series of questions for you.
Yes.
One, Krezer. How toxic is Krezer?
Krezer? Krezerin?
Sure.
Krezerin is very toxic.
Except to me.
Except to this boy.
Let's say somebody here has Krezer blood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah?
Like, does that like melt shit? Does that like what properties do Krezer have?
Canonically, Krezerin is what's caused the verdancy of the Wild Sea.
Okay.
Krezerin is what has affected the sap, the lifeblood of trees, to grow at the rate that it's grown. In addition to that, it's also created all the species of creatures in the Wild Sea. So like Fennec, canonically, like the what's your race?
The Ketra.
The Ketra. Canonically, the Ketra are Ardents, humans, like pre-V humans, that went down into the earth to try to escape this. But Krezerin somehow got infected into them, and now they're all goopy people.
Yeah, primordial ooze people.
Primordial. So Krezerin has the capability to alter genetic parts of living things in a very wild way.
Great, but not something I could necessarily use as a weapon against rocks.
No.
Great.
Organics? Yes. Rocks? No.
Perfect. Good to know in the future. Okay, so I'm running the one direction I can that's not backwards.
Correct.
And that's at rocks, question mark?
It is away from big spinning rock.
Okay.
Yeah. The rock has turned into a boulder at this point. It is now spinning
cool, down the hallway.
At breakneck speeds. This is much faster than the first boulder that you run into.
Okie dokies. So I will super swing, but I'm going to go backwards so that if it hits, it hits me, not her.
Okay. Gotcha. You're going to need to give me a roll, and because you're going backwards, I think I'm going to have to cut it.
Ha, there you, if you want.
Now you know.
Yeah, because you're doing a protective act, it is actually going to hinder you.
Well, can I use the whisper? This was a defense.
You
can. Oh, like was being the operative word.
This
was a defense.
You know what? Yeah. If you want to expend that whisper, I know we're kind of running fast and loose with the rules, but yeah, I'll let you expend that whisper so that you're not cut.
Can you hand me the one with the eraser?
Oh, so none of them.
Expend it. This was a defense.
I think you're able to.
Cybin the uncut.
Cybin the uncut.
He ain't circumcised, baby. Six.
Well, that's a.
Six, five, four, and a one. Nope, the cut didn't happen.
The cut didn't happen. Sorry.
You're good.
Take that out.
Taking it out.
Jimmy, edit that out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
As you're swinging backwards, I think you see how fast this boulder is coming, and you know for a fact that if it were to hit you, it would definitely harm Eve. And so I think you let that whisper out of you to kind of go like, this was a defense. And that gives you a boost backwards. And you're able to climb quickly, more speedily, into the archway and fall out just before the boulder crashes into the wall into 1,000 pieces of debris. You did it. You made it through.
I pat her on the head.
We're alive. She's holding on very tightly. And she goes like, yeah, let's never do that again.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we're going to get out, though.
It should just repeat the pattern, right?
Mm-hmm. But the last one didn't have warning. Just said.
But the last one should only trigger that hallway, so we'll see it happen before it happens to us, right?
One can hope. I don't know. The rules make no sense to me.
This place doesn't make a fucking lick of sense.
Nope. But where are we now?
Past the series of deadly hallways, you enter into the part of the cave that opens up into a great dome. The walls stretch nearly 100 feet up into a tall, sloped ceiling. Though the darkness makes the size of the room hard to determine, it is made more clear by the dim blue lights that seem to twinkle along the edges of the room. Lights that sparkle like lightning bugs in a warm summer night, blink in and out in magical waves. Thousands of them coming in and out of sync to create a relaxing pattern of mesmerization. You turn to the wall closest to you and you see that these little lights are more than bugs, but are actually individual runes carved into the walls that have been imbued with a sort of magic.
Hmm.
The walls of this place are completely covered in some unintelligible language long lost to time. The runes cover all of the architecture here in this place, merging the walls, the pillars, and the ceiling with a blanket of light that billows in an invisible breeze. At the center of the chamber, at the very midpoint of the dome where the ceiling meets, hangs a giant ornate chandelier made of black iron and silvered steel. It is devilishly beautiful in its Victorian style. Its spiraling bent armatures and rounded cage of ribbed steel give it sense of royalty and grotesque beauty. In the center of it, cut on the cage that makes up its center body, is a bright blue flame that dances and putters without a sound. On the ends of each of its several dozen arms, that same blue fire glows softly like a candle on each end. It does not provide much light, if any, to the space, but its size and shape demand anyone's attention who enters the chamber.
Mm.
Walking further into the room, you see that the walls do not actually touch down to the floor that you are standing on. You approach a railing carved from stone and peer over the railing to see that the dome mirrors itself, creating a completely round room. You look around and you see that this platform has been designed intentionally so that you must pass across the bridge to reach the other side.
Guess we have to pass the bridge. I'm going to look for chalk or sniff for chalk.
Yeah, you sniff for chalk and you turn around and you see to your right that there is a large section of wall closest to the archway leading you back into the hallway of traps that has been carved away at. A large patch of runes have been chipped away from the wall with careful precision. Some discarded runes lie scattered on the floor, but you notice that these runes do not radiate the same blue that the others on the wall do. Also on the floor beneath the section, you see a nearly broken chisel and a large rock. Eve, I think at this point, hops down after off your back, and it's running her hands against the wall, and you see as she does, the blue flares up. All the runes kind of intensify as she rubs her hand against the wall, and she asks you, do you know anything of this place?
Delve and Tides?
Yeah, Tides is lore. Go ahead.
And Delve is like...
We're deep now.
Exploring runes. And
Yeah.
Six.
There's a six. Okay.
He can't be stopped.
You've got a lot of sixes today, and I'm really glad that you
all
have.
Getting, I'm getting all my ass sixes, fucking kicked.
Yeah. Rise is giving up.
Rise is floating into the ether.
Will's
the,
like,
the dice are telling a story, and that is, move away, old man. Make way for the young blood.
So sad. With a six, I think you get keyed into this history here. You've heard... So it's difficult, because that's what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
There's this story that goes, and then an empty space.
Mm.
And then you kind of think harder about it. It's like, but people told me about, and then there's nothing. Like it was there, but you can't access it. And you've heard stories of people talk about this, and I think you kind of get a twinge of that, of like, there is this space, there is this place that people know of, but they can't speak of. And they don't know why. Like, this is like some old sailor's tale that is kind of like died out on the wild sea, but people like you, you know of it, because it's interesting, it's fascinating. It's one of those like dead men tell no tales kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And as you stand here in this place, it's like that memory is pressed up against glass, and you can just almost see it. You almost know exactly what this place is. You know that it holds great importance. You know that it's not only dangerous, but safe. You know that this is some key. You know that something's here, but you can't access that memory. And the more that you watch the lights flicker around the room, the more that you try to comprehend what this place was, try to remember it, the more lost you feel. That's with a six.
There's only one way I can think of to access these memories, but it would make getting out quite dangerous.
What do you mean?
Well, I can always break off a piece of myself and see what it remembers.
It works like that for you?
I'm made of hallucinogenics.
Right. It works like that for you? You're not... I just assumed you were constantly on a high, like...
No.
Interesting.
It's stored in places in my body. If I was constantly high, I don't think I'd be able to swing that well.
I guess so. I always thought you were just operating at peak efficiency whenever you were high. Sorry, that's very rude of me, I guess.
That's an okay assumption.
Huh. It's your choice. I think we may find an answer.
Let us try that first.
Okay. But yeah, Ash, she runs her hand across it.
Are you magic? And I go to touch it. Does anything happen when I do?
Nothing happens.
You're magic.
I'm...
And you're not high.
Mm-mm.
You see Eve is about to say something like, I'm... And then you see her double over again. Go, oh! Oh! And then a whisper flies out. I'm made of this place.
Oh. Use a whisper, get a whisper.
Do you get that whisper before you write it down?
I gotta catch it. I gotta catch it. Instinct tend? I don't know. Instinct delve, instinct brave, instinct sense, instinct. Instinct makes sense. Just instinct. That one.
Will has decided to just roll instinct, and he's got his first one, breaking his sixth streak. You do not catch this whisper. It flies away from you, and I think you almost double over the railing trying to chase it. Two things happen. One, you see the whisper float down the hall. It doesn't go out into the world. You see it get sucked away down further the path so quickly. And then you fall down into the dome.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this episode, please consider following and leaving a review. If you'd like to support us, consider subscribing to our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/RPGPOD. And be sure to check out all of our socials as well, which are linked in the description of this episode. Thank you again for listening.